Blog Talk Radio.
This goes all over the world. About Eastern Airlines, coming to you live each Monday at this time, talking about the company we dedicated a great number of years to, and a company that gave us so much in return. This is why we keep broadcasting the good news of Eastern during these radio programs. But first, let's see who we have as host for tonight's show. Neil, who do we have out there as host tonight?
Well, we always start off with Steve Thompson way up there in the hills, in the Moonshine Hills of North Carolina. Steve, how are you tonight?
Fine, Neil, and welcome, listeners. And it is just one of those absolutely perfect days here in Roaring Gap. And we have shut down the stills for the day, and we're running off a bunch again tomorrow. So...
I knew that.
It is 70 degrees, a light wind blowing, and not a cloud in the sky. And you folks are going to be missing out if you don't come visit us within the next month or so.
Absolutely, with those golden leaves on the trees coming soon, very soon. You'll have a lot of visitors up there, Steve. And then we have, as our host down in South Florida, we have Cecile Intriago. Cecile, how are things down there tonight?
Very, very hot. Temperature was 93 degrees and a little bit of rain just about an hour ago, but it's extremely hot, as hot as the real estate market is down here in South Florida.
Very good. And we haven't heard from our host way up there in, let's see, you've moved around so much, John Roofs. Golly, from Philadelphia or down in the Maryland area. Tell us how things are and where you are.
Well, I'm back in Philadelphia now in beautiful Bluebell, Pennsylvania. And it's 85 degrees and the sun's out and it's a beautiful day.
Well, I'm here in Ponte Vedra, Florida. Can't even say Florida. Halfway between St. Augustine, Florida and Jacksonville. And Eastern was so dominant here in the Jacksonville area back in the 40s. It was a major, major city, and we missed the Eastern Airlines logo in the air in this area, but hopefully we're going to see the Eastern airplanes in the air once again. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Jim Hart, back to you. How are things there where you are on Martha's Vineyard?
Thanks, Neil. I'm up here on the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, where the weather today was only about 75 degrees, not one bit of humidity. Absolutely beautiful. The food, of course, here is out of sight. And, of course, lobster being one of our fantastic foods. And the people here are so darn pleased that our president, Mr. Obama, has left and gone back to Washington. You know, it's nice to have him here, but it kind of messes our traffic up. We have, you know, a lot of people don't know that our island is only 10 miles wide and 19 miles long. In the wintertime, our population is just 20,000 people. In the summertime, it goes up to 150,000 people. And this is one of the reasons why when I go shopping at our local Stop and Shop supermarket, I go at 6 a.m. because I can get a parking place in the parking lot. It's so beautiful up here. I wish so many more people could come and visit with us. Okay, Neil, back to you.
Well, it's time for the show. So let's get the engine started and get this show in the air.
Yes. Call in to 213-816-1611 if you would like to be on the air with your host. Once you hear the conversation, just press number one on your phone dial pad. This will open your phone for live conversation. Don't forget, we also have a toll-free number, 877-572-1861. Let me repeat both of those numbers, please. 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861. Neil, what's the subject in our program tonight? Golly, it seems like over the past 3.5 years, we've covered almost everything regarding Eastern Airlines history and various departments. How are we going tonight?
Well, you know, Jim, I thought that our program would be different than what it will be tonight, but I had in mind that we would do a program about reservations and Res Center. We always talk about Res, and so I thought we would do a show tonight about that, but actually I've gotten a lot of email and from our last show with Ed Weigel, the president of the New Eastern Airlines. What an interesting show it was. So I thought we would continue a little bit of along those lines tonight. And so we do talk a little bit about the airlines and about Eastern Airlines as it was reported in one of the internet news media. And so we're going to start there. Tell a little bit about that. Steve, would you kind of introduce things about report about Eastern Airlines, the new Eastern?
Yes, I will, Neil, but I should let you know also that I think you should let Chuck know that the spark plugs on that engine, some of them are fouled and they need cleaning. Also, the mixture is a little bit rich because the flame coming out is a very yellow in color, so
okay,
you can
we'll
let him know that also.
Very good, Steve.
Folks, America's newest airline is a very old one, and the article was written by Alexander McClanahan. Aviation has a way of attracting enthusiastic followers for particular aircraft and airlines, but the task being undertaken by one team may be the biggest show of airline loyalty ever. A group of airline managers are looking to get Eastern Airlines flying once again. Looking at their progress so far, this relaunched carrier could be taking to the skies in the next few years. Eastern Airlines also notes that it was the first airline to operate a Boeing 727, the Boeing 757, as well as being the first U.S. airline customer for Airbus. At its peak, Eastern could easily be considered one of the largest airlines in the U.S. The original Eastern Airlines was born out of a small aviation company started in 1927, around the same time as the other airline carriers flying today. Like many other early airlines, Eastern made a good business of flying mail in the 1930s, gradually moving toward passenger transportation during the next several years. But the airline industry is often a turbulent one, and financial troubles began to threaten Eastern in the 1980s due to a combination of asset transfers, labor problems, and debt issues, and the airline eventually ceased operations in 1991 as the Gulf War began. John?
Yes, when Eastern Airlines stopped flying, the airline still had many fans from both the airline and the aviation industry it was part of. This group of people started the new version of Eastern Airlines in 2011, 20 years after the original airline ceased operations. The new company is called Eastern Airlines Group. Although many people know the company as Eastern Airlines, the words air and lines are separate to reflect the original name of Eastern Airlines. Eastern will now join Delta Airlines as one of the few modern airlines with this type of spelling. Three words in their names. The new Eastern moved its head offices to the old Eastern Operations Center at Miami International Airport. Besides using the historical operations center, the new Eastern plans to base itself out of Miami for its flight operations. Although Boeing has long since stopped production of the 727 and 757, the aerospace manufacturer has been tapped to supply the new Eastern with up to 20 Boeing 737-800 aircraft, 10 are firm orders, and 10 are purchase rights. Cecile?
Since the old Eastern Airlines ceased operations, the airline industry has undergone a period of consolidation that has seen the number of competitors drastically shrink. However, the airlines that remain are now both bigger and stronger than the more fragmented carriers of decades past. In Miami, Eastern will face competition from many airlines, but especially from American Airlines Group, which uses Miami as one of its hubs. American Airlines Group is now the world's largest airline since its merger with U.S. Airways and will be offering a wide selection of routes servicing both the U.S. and the markets of Central and South America. Although Eastern has yet to announce its routes, the Miami location is well positioned to operate flights to Central and South America, as well as the East Coast of the U.S. The airline has already chosen Latin One Pass as the name for its frequent flyer program, suggesting the airline may operate some flights to Latin America.
The airline industry has seen a nice rebound since the recession, propelled by both rising demand and industry consolidation. This has led to record profits at American Airlines Group, Delta Airlines, and Southwest Airlines, as the carriers benefit from the disciplined capacity management and higher travel demand. Despite this improved industry outlook, the road ahead will still be challenging for the new Eastern Airlines. History is littered with failed airline startups from its early beginnings to the present day. However, Eastern Airlines will have a level of name recognition that most startups lack, which may help in collecting media attention and attracting aviation fans. For existing airlines, the start of Eastern is unlikely to have a major impact, at least in the near term. With smaller financial resources, Eastern is unlikely to wage price wars to break into competitive markets, and its smaller fleet will put a limit on how much capacity it can add to the aviation market as a whole. Of all existing carriers, American Airlines would be the most likely to feel pressure due to increased capacity at Miami International. However, investors will have to wait for Eastern's route plan to determine how many routes currently flown by American will see increased capacity from Eastern.
Eastern Airlines Group filed for a certificate of public convenience and necessity in January of this year and has since placed an order for up to 20 Boeing 737-800 aircraft. As always, building a successful airline will be a challenge, but the founders of the new Eastern have chosen the right industry environment to do it in. If these people are successful, Eastern Airlines may just become the first legacy carrier to disappear for more than a decade before returning to the skies.
Okay, we've got a few comments about what we have just delivered this evening as our opening discussion of the new Eastern Airlines. We've gotten some emails. Cecile, will you read the emails that you have there?
Okay, on August 23rd, Lord Desmond wrote, "Let's hope they can keep Lorenzo out of their business this time. He destroyed Eastern when he was there." Another comment received on the 23rd was, "Eastern was its loyal employees who worked very hard under very difficult situations. Bad management, Frank Lorenzo looted Eastern and shifted its assets to Continental Airlines. We all know how many times Continental manipulated the bankruptcy system. The new Eastern," another comment was, "the new Eastern will never survive. The new American will kick butt. New planes, frequent departures, state-of-the-art terminal and facilities, huge hubs, vast route network." Another comment was, "why would anyone even try to compete?" Another one is, "and last but not least, American has a lot of the original Eastern people."
Steve, you have some
comments. A comment on August 23rd, 2014 at 7:26 p.m. And Jeroman wrote, "the new Eastern Airlines is a reemergence of the airline name and colors only. The name, like Pan Am, Braniff and National, was bought by the new investor. It has new management, new airplanes, new routes, new concept, and new employees. It is nothing more than the reappearance of an old familiar name." August 23rd, 2014 at 8:26 p.m., a camper wrote, "whether the name is familiar or not, Eastern has to develop some kind of niche to be successful. Spirit, love them or hate them, and more people seem to hate them, are making money with the niche that they have developed. Southwest and Allegiant have had similar success." August 24th, 2014 at 10:27 a.m., VespaJet wrote, "I seem to the recall that this version of Eastern intends to start off as a charter airline, and if the demand is there, they will enter into scheduled operations. A few years ago, they were rumored to be buying now defunct charter airline USA 3000, which was being shut down by the airline's parent company, Apple Vacations. Miami International Airport has struggled to attract and maintain service from low-cost carriers, and AirTran was the only one to maintain a presence there for any significant amount of time. Miami was served from the airline from back in the airline was ValueJet up until the Miami station closed a few years ago as part of the merger integration with Southwest. Fort Lauderdale International, and to a lesser extent, Palm Beach International, has been where the low-cost carriers have long flown their flag because it is a cheaper airport to operate from than Miami."
On August 24th, 2014, FPL 1954 wrote, "The airline isn't an old airline. The name is venerable, but it's just a name. We do need more competition in the airline business. If not, crowding and comfort will just continue to get worse. I'd gladly pay 50% more for 50% wider seats, as would a lot of people. But when you have immense airlines run by accountants and they no more listen to customers than employees, their goal is maximum profits, and they don't care if part of the formula is planes falling out of the air or customers getting sick on planes, as long as profits are a penny more per passenger." Another report on this comment on August 24th was from Brilliant, as he calls themselves. "Who cares about the logistics of Eastern? The fact is Eastern brings back many great memories of a great airline. I loved flying the old 727s. I remember the personnel of Eastern were always friendly and helpful. If the new Eastern can copy the great service I used to get, it should be a success." And that leaves us open again.
Those were the comments. Any comments that you, host, that you would like to make at this time about what your thoughts are of the new Eastern coming back? with a different name, although it's still Eastern Airlines, but the separation of the three words. I hadn't thought about it until we talked about it tonight. Eastern Airlines was the next name after Eastern Air Transport, which was back in the 30s, the late 30s, early 40s, and from Pitcairn it started, then Eastern Air Transport, and then in the 30s, late 30s, it became Eastern Air Lines, three words. And then I hadn't stopped to think, but Delta Airlines also has three words in their name. And so that was interesting. That was an interesting comment.
Well, Neil, I think if they put the product out there on the market at the right price with some nice amenities that people would be appreciative of, I think they'll be a success because Lord knows there's demand for transportation out there. It's growing every day by leaps and bounds, and the numbers are just staggering. So if they do it right, I'm sure they'll reap the rewards.
I certainly hope so. It's a new business, new management team, not the old Eastern Airlines and its employees, although it would be great if the new Eastern Airlines did hire some of the dedicated employees that the old Eastern had. It's entirely up to them. It's a brand new business plan, and I wish them all the success in the world because they are bringing the colors of Eastern to the air, to the skies again. We do have a couple of callers out there. If you might like to make a comment, area code 516. Who's that? Area code 516. Would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, it's George, Neil.
Hey, George, good to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, I finally made it back from vacation.
and lots of fishing, too, right?
Lots of fishing, that's for sure.
What do you think about the new Eastern Airlines? Did you get a chance, by the way, to listen to Ed Wiggle speak last week about the new carrier?
No, I did not. Where I was, I really didn't have access to a computer, which is a bad and also a good thing. So, no, I did not hear it.
Great discussion over the Internet last week. He had a real good overview about where they are, the status of the Eastern Airlines. And he'll be also presenting, and I'll do a pitch right now for the REPA convention soon to be held September the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. In Savannah, Georgia, and Ed Wiggle has offered to come and speak to the pilot group, the retired pilot group, in Savannah at their convention, and they accepted. So he'll be talking, I think, on the evening of the 3rd with the REPA group there in Savannah. And it ought to be very interesting, probably on the same lines that we had on our show last week. But my hats are off to them because it costs a lot of money to go into the airline business, and it takes a lot of time and dedication and a lot of work to put an airline in the air, and an airplane in the air is an air carrier. First of all comes the DOT fitness. You have to establish fitness with the Department of Transportation to show that you've got enough money to do what you say you're going to do, and also the team that you're going to operate the airlines are all qualified. And then comes the FAA certification, and that itself is a major major task. And I think I remember Ed saying last week that December of this year they would go through their proving runs, and that means they're going to take a trip somewhere. And they'll be doing it just like a scheduled flight and having problems like you would in a scheduled flight. They could present all sorts of different problems, scenarios, and you've got to meet the task of carrying them out and proving that you can operate a carrier. A long time ago in Pittsburgh, I was involved in a startup operation called AirTrain. And we were going to use DC-9s, old Eastern Airlines DC-9s. We got two of them. And I recall many sessions with the FAA there in Pittsburgh. And we got the DOT certification. We got the FAA eventually the certification. And but the airline only stayed around for about a little over a year because they ran out of money. They ran out of gas. So I wish all of the team, the management team of the New Eastern, every success in the world. And I'm very proud that we're talking again about Eastern Airlines coming back to the skies. Your thoughts? Anyone?
They have
I agree.
This is Steve. They have a unique opportunity to produce a product that is unique. So many of my friends now who talk about flying dread the experience of going to the airport and going through the hassle that they have to go through now just to fly from A to B. Now, the new airline does not have probably the opportunity to reduce those hassles, but they can certainly produce a product once a passenger gets on an airplane that is unique and will, in my opinion, be able to draw a lot of business from the other competition.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jim, did I hear you say something a while earlier, Jim Hart?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that back in the days of 1950s, when we had only propellers, it was such a different time in our lives. Today, we're confronted with so many different problems, opportunities, and so on, that those people who become involved with our new Eastern Airlines, hopefully, will be able to confront those problems and opportunities like we all would. I just wish, like one of our hosts had said before, I would love to change the date on my birth certificate and get back there with these new guys. Was that you, Steve?
That was me, yes, and I'm sorry that I've already changed the date on it, and I'm going to submit it for a pilot job with the new Eastern.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't we have somebody at Eastern who did that?
Successfully, I might add.
That's right,
The parties to that that crime, the Eastern Airlines pilot crime, the parties was Hassan Callaway, who did make the change, and Julian Betts, who was number two on the seniority list. And he was supposed to be number one, but the number one at that time, Hassan, actually produced a bobble that had a different birth date than the one that he was hired on with at Eastern Airlines. So the argument began there and ended shortly after Hassan came back. Hassan and Julian are both great friends. They were great friends because they're both deceased now, but they were great friends, great guys to fly with. But it was so funny that all of us in Atlanta knew what was happening. We knew the story, and yeah. And for that reason, I have two birth dates myself. One is in March 25th when my mother said I was born, and the other one is April 25th, and that's the one my birth certificate said. So I was hoping to do the same thing and add just 1 month more of flying to my career.
Cecile here. I just wanted to say, if we target South America like it was discussed last week with Mr. Wegel, I think it's going to be very successful. South America loves the name Eastern, and he did mention Ecuador, which coincidentally happens to be where I was born. Ecuador loves Eastern Airlines and recognizes the name. So, and those planes are full that American Airlines flies down there.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
low capacity. So it's going to be very successful.
Very good corporate decision, Cecile. And also, when you stop to think that this is not a route, these are not routes that you normally have the competition and the price wars going on and the discounts warfare going on. These are prime seats and prime tickets that people pay for. So I think they really thought this out, and I think they're going to have a great chance of being very successful back through the Caribbean, South and Central America. I think that was a great plan to put that as their focus initially, and hopefully they'll become more
Neil,
domestic.
I have a question. Yeah, I have a question, not having heard the broadcast last week. The Root Awards throughout South America are bestowed through bilateral treaties between the countries, and entry is very closely guarded. And as you know, American and Eastern, prior to selling the routes to American, had what they call fifth freedom rights, which allowed them to fly passengers between the countries in South America and pick them up and take them off, not just to America. Did Ed Wiegel mention anything about that?
No, he really didn't discuss that as far as the granting of the right to come in and service that. And I believe this is one of the reasons, you guys, you host that heard him last week, I believe this is one of the reasons that they're starting off in a charter operation and eventually go into schedule a schedule carrier. What is that what you, some of you guys remember?
I didn't pick up on that.
Well, the charter, we as a matter of fact, George, we did bring it up to Ed on the program last week that we hope that we would be, we meaning the employees of Eastern Airlines, retired, the old employees of Eastern Airlines, would charter two aircraft and fly from Miami to, for instance, San Juan. And we've talked about that on the radio show as to whether that would be something that we ought to try to get the new Eastern Airlines to consider. Their inaugural flights, the first two flights out, would be with former Eastern people. And he said at the show, because I brought it up to him, that, yeah, that would be a great thing to consider. And so I told him that, well, I'd be talking with him more when we meet in Savannah here in a couple, in about a, 7 or 8 days from now. So hopefully we will do that, and perhaps we can encourage people that listen to our radio show and groups like RIPA and the Silverliners and EARA can all sponsor, you know, or either discuss that with all the members of their organizations that, hey, let's fill up two airplanes and let's charter it to San Juan and overnight there, and perhaps have some of the officials of the new Eastern Airlines to give us a talk and be a great pep rally for all of us. And, boy, I can see all sorts of potential as far as marketing is concerned to get the new Eastern up and running.
Well, the reason I bring it up is that the South American nations are very reticent to give any route awards, any new routes through there, for the reasons that you stated before. The fares are very high, and they closely guard the number of seats that are allowed to be flown in and out of their countries. And I was just curious as to whether Ed Wiegel had mentioned anything about how they anticipated perhaps overcoming that.
George?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Steve. Would that not be something that the estate had was an asset to them and would be transferred to the new owners of the Eastern Airlines name, the estate?
No, I don't believe so, because if you recall, Lorenzo, when he owned the airline, Texas Air, they sold those routes to American Airlines, and I think it was for $500 million, $500 million. And so I don't believe that Eastern any longer owns those routes any longer. That's
okay.
Why I raised the issue.
Yeah, I believe that's correct too, George. I don't think once the airlines went out of business, the state couldn't keep the rights to those routes, and I think they went by the way of American Airlines, which, as we said earlier in our show tonight, that's going to be their stiff competition. I mean, that's really going to be something to battle with them. But again, they had done a study earlier, as Ed said on one of our previous shows, when they kind of did a census as to the name recognition of Eastern Airlines. And by golly, it was right up at the very top. Almost the same percentage recognized Eastern Airlines as American Airlines. So they have done their study, and especially down in South and Central America and the Caribbean, all through the Caribbean, I think they've got great name recognition. And another thing is they have already recruited, as a matter of fact, one of them, the guys that has been on this show, and I haven't emailed him lately, but we've been in communication, and that is Marco in Ecuador, Quito, in Quito. And he is trying to use his influence with all the folks in that part of the country, part of the world. I think they'll get some people to represent them real well, and hopefully they'll be able to come back in. San Juan, I think, is going to be a natural first route that they would probably want to fly, because Miami-San Juan was great with Eastern.
Yeah, well, San Juan isn't a problem because it's a U.S. possession. So
yeah.
It would be, you know, they can just go in there anytime they can
right.
get some terminal space. So, but the South American countries, I believe, would pose a little bit more of a probably some political problems. You know, there would be, I don't know if you read the article I forwarded you yesterday from Yahoo, but
yeah.
they mentioned American Airlines as being the, you know, that would be the carrier that would be most impacted by it. And having flown through Miami last winter, I could tell you that American has that airport pretty well sewn up. I mean, they have a huge operation down there now.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice for me because, you know, as a retired U.S. Airways employee, you know, and U.S. Airways now having purchased American, I mean, the pass riding potential is amazing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, we asked some good questions last week, and folks listening to us tonight, if you want to pick up a good conversation with your host and others with Ed Weigel, then just go back to our archive shows. And it's episode 177. Tonight's show is 178. And listen to that show. We started off kind of a little without a guest, we thought, because Ed was negotiating, I believe, for some leasing of an airplane or airplanes. And so he got to the show about 20 minutes late. And we had to kind of ad-lib and do a little improv there for about 20 minutes. And fortunately, I saw his number pop up on the screen. And he took over from there and did a great job. So we thank Ed Weigel for being on our show last week. And it was a lot of good questions answered. So listen to our archive show. And you can always pick up our archive shows of this radio show at EALRadioShow.com. That's www.EALRadioShow.com. And there you'll also see our website. And our website is free. There's no charge to become a member of our Eastern Airlines Radio Show website. Just register and, by golly, pick up all the 42 pages of great Eastern stuff that you'll want to explore that website. And I want to put in another plug for the Retired Eastern Pilots Association having their convention September the 2nd through the 5th in Savannah, Georgia, at the Savannah DeSoto Hilton Hotel. And Ed Weigel will be there at his own expense, by the way, coming up to give a talk about what I guess he discussed with us last week. So I look forward to hearing him again and some of the questions that were raised tonight. Hopefully I can present that to him and get some answers. And I hope to have him back on the show again often, and I'm sure that he'll oblige us for that. Jim Hart's always good about keeping in touch with Ed, and seems to be able to do a better job than I do. So, Jim Hart, hats off to you.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. I do have a couple of comments, please. You can imagine when I had arranged for Ed to be with us last Monday, and he did not respond, I had read probably a 5 or 7 minute introduction to Ed about his background and so on, and I thought everything was going very well, and then when I said, Ed, it's good to have you with us, and then there was a blank and nothing, and I thought, oh my God, I don't tell me, and I was so relieved when he came on just a few minutes after that and introduced himself. I was ready to crawl under the table.
One of those moments in radio, and
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, since we're a very professionally polished radio show here, I say that laughingly, but we do have a good time here, and we have our minutes of, I don't know whether it's stark terror, but when you get silence on the radio, on the air, on television, you can see somebody, even if they don't talk, you can at least see them. But on radio, of course, you can't see them, and when they don't say anything, it's even worse. It's dead air time, I think it's called, dead air time. And so you're always looking to fill in that dead air time because you have to have a continuous flow of talking like I've been doing here for the last too many minutes.
That's right, Neil. That's right. You're doing an excellent job.
Somebody else want to talk?
Neil?
Yes, John. Yes, John.
It's Hal.
Hal. Hello, Hal Nord. Folks, we've got the famous Captain Hal Nord with us tonight.
And I just wanted to say that better dead air time than dead head time.
I wouldn't mind dead heading somewhere. Hal, what's going on in your part of the world? Where are you, down in South Florida?
No, I'm in Michigan, where I was born and raised, in Manistee, Michigan. But I have a question, and that is, when the deregulation came about, that negated any capture by any one airline of the routes. Now, how's that working right now? Or is it changed over to where the airports extend slots? What's the structure that incurs when a new airline comes in, like Peoples and so forth in the past?
Well, I'll tell you, I can tell you how back in the, I guess it was the early 1990, when I was up in Pittsburgh and we were putting together the airline there with DC-9s. From Pittsburgh, we were going to fly to Detroit and then over to Philadelphia. Those were the two initial routes that we were going to have on our route structure and then add more and more. Kind of like what Southwest, everybody at that time was copying the business plan of Southwest Airlines. And but I remember we had to go to Detroit and we had to fight for our gate space. I mean, you know, you can fly into an airport, but if there's no room for you there, if all the gate space is taken up, then by golly, you know, you're going to have to really think of something else or another airport or someplace to put your airplane. So, yeah, you have to negotiate for those spaces. Mm-hmm. And so that
imagine what's happening, yep. Neil, is that they'll have to negotiate with some existing or major airline there to utilize their gate and their spaces.
Yeah, during the times that they don't have departures and arrivals, yeah. And
didn't you say that New Eastern would operate as a charter airline?
That's the impression that we have gotten from Ed in the last two discussions we've had with him on our radio show, that it would start off as a charter operation.
Well, I guess I'll see Ed with you up in Savannah, so.
Yeah.
I didn't get 177 yet, but I I will rerun that show so that I can get not too far behind when I okay. discuss it.
Very good, very good. Well, I have to take my hat off anyone trying to do something as difficult and complicated as putting an airline together. And as we've mentioned tonight on our radio show, that they've been at this since 2011, so they probably even earlier than that, but they've been putting this business plan together, assembling their team to put the airline back in the air, or their airline. It's not the airline, because when I say the airline, it's as if I'm saying the original Eastern Airlines. Of course, that won't ever happen again. That's gone. But we've got a new carrier that will bear the coat of arms, if you will, and the colors of Eastern Airlines.
Well,
John
Kennedy said, let's talk about what we can do for them and not what they can do for us. That's going to be a thesis that I think is important.
Very good, Hal. Very good to mention that, yeah. And I'm all supportive of that, and I thank everyone that listens to us and the hosts that are with us feel the same way. We want to see them succeed. You know, I've had some email. As a matter of fact, I've had one guy that has emailed a couple of times. He's probably listening tonight. That is very much. He doesn't think that this is right to take the word of Eastern Airlines, the legacy of Eastern Airlines, and to make a profit on that by merely buying the name Eastern Airlines and running an entirely new corporation for the profit. Of course, you know, after all, if you put a corporation together, you have shareholders, and you got to have a profit. And that's what you pledge to your shareholders. We're going to make money out of this. But by golly, they had the insight to, hey, there's a name out there. Eastern Airlines Estate owned that, and they bought the rights to that name, the way I remember hearing it. And of course, listening to Ed Wiegel saying that they're going to do everything possible to make the former employees of Eastern Airlines proud once again. So,
Alan Ward, are you still with us?
Yes, Jim, I am.
Yeah, this is Jim Hart. Hal, as you know, I was with you during the funeral of your first wife, and I'm just hoping everything is going well with you, with the young lady that you have met, but I'm kind of wondering, what brings you way up into, did you say Michigan?
Yes, I was born and raised in the town of Manistee. We're up here for a month, and we'll be down at the convention, Jim, the PIPA convention. I have a report.
I can understand you probably want to get away from that 90-degree weather in Florida, right?
Absolutely. One other thing I want to mention is that as far as passes go, I don't think anybody is going to be able to really benefit from passes, because the ships or the airplanes are all running full, and we certainly hope that our new Eastern airplanes are going to be running full. But we all have 40 years of our time and our lives invested into what was Eastern Airlines, and to have the new Eastern successful certainly would be in our best interests, just from the standpoint of the fact that it's still going to be a name that would represent what we represented.
Yeah, very well stated, Hal. Yeah, I can't say enough about the fact that, you know, I tell all my friends, I'll change tact here, I tell all my friends that, hey, Eastern Airlines is going to be in the air again. And they say, really? And matter of fact, I've been giving Eastern Airlines decks of cards to all of my friends as a business card. Some people send me memorabilia or either stuff that they bought of Eastern Airlines at the auction when they sold all of the assets that Eastern had, including all the memorabilia, china, silver, playing cards, whatever, you name it. And I got lots of them. And so I got a lot of business, playing cards, the old Eastern playing cards. And I go to Panera Bread every Thursday with my good friend, and we have coffee, and there I see some tables of older folks, and I pass those business cards, listen to me, Eastern Airlines cards. Of course, they do have my business card in it, too, because I always manage to slip that into the deck of playing cards. And it's almost as if they treasure something of the past, Eastern Airlines, that they remember. And they're so thankful that they got a deck of cards, of playing cards.
We don't want to have happen what happened to Braniff, and they had a lot of money behind them. But I think it's in Ed Wiegel's and the new Eastern's best interest for us to show and let the public know in the marketing of Eastern that the old Eastern people are 100% behind it, and it's a real smooth transition, and it's not one of a bunch of businessmen trying to make money off of the name. And that's going to be very important for their success.
Well, Hal Norton, I want you and Audrey to be with me and Peggy on that chartered flight, inaugural flight of the new Eastern Airlines, because I intend to buy a ticket, by golly, or two tickets if my wife will go with me. But I'm definitely going to plan on that first inaugural flight. And I hope a lot of our listeners will call in or contact Ed Wiegel and say, yeah, we'd like to be on that inaugural flight too. If it's going to San Juan, I think that's where we ought to go and have a pep rally there. Steve?
I have a commitment that I must say goodnight to everybody for. And, Hal, it's nice to hear from you, and so many things that we could talk about with your friends Bill and Sis Jackson, and so I need to say goodnight to everybody, and it's been fun. And listeners, good night, and we'll see you next week.
Well,
goodnight,
thanks,
Steve.
Steve.
Thank you.
We about run out of time, so I think we hear the music in the background, as a matter of fact, reminding us. Jim?
Yeah, let's turn that thing up a little bit, Neil. Our sign-off bumper music tells me we're about out of time for this week's show. Tell their friends about the show. Importantly, get involved with the rest of our hosts by participating in these broadcasts. You're welcome to participate live and on the air each Monday evening. We're glad we could get together again tonight and to talk about our airline days and those magnificent flying machines. To our hundreds of listeners around the world, we hope you'll be back again next Monday at the same time and same place on your internet dial. We're proud of the fact that this show is the only airline company radio show of its kind. It's part of the way we're keeping the memory of Eastern alive. We are the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. Well, that's all for tonight, folks. And from all of your hosts, we wish you a very good night and a safe week. Good night, Eastern family and friends.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, everyone.